blessing to us. They have to leave today after lunch, headed to Texas. So from Illinois to Texas, they're going down to the Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington for a conference there. And so it's been a blessing to have them with us. So if you haven't spoken with them, you be sure and do that after the service this morning, as they will be leaving this afternoon. He's going to sing. He and Samantha are going to sing. And then it's been good to have Brother Preem and his wife. And his wife's here today, able to be here. So Brother Preem will introduce his wife and bring our message this morning after Brother Jordan sings. All right.
Mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call, as the midnight cry when Jesus comes. I shall rise to meet him in the air. But then those that remain will be going home at the midnight cry when Jesus comes back. I look around me, prophecies fulfilling, and the signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he said, "Son, go get your children," and the midnight cry, the bride of Christ.
Blessing that is. What a blessing it is to know where you're going, isn't it? Don't have to wish, don't have to hope, but you know where we're going to spend eternity, waiting for that day. Waiting for that day when the Lord comes back and takes us home. What a blessing. We don't deserve to be there, do we? No, we don't. We don't deserve a second there, but because of His grace and what He's done and our faith in Him, we have hope, and we know that that's where we're going to be one day. Praise the Lord for that. We ask that you would pray. We have a urgent prayer request. One of our men that had been saved out of drugs over in the Ukraine, we just got news this morning that he's in the hospital. Because of drugs, it had killed his immune system, and he has caught something. His brain is now swollen, and he's in the emergency room. So we ask you to pray. His name is Serioja, or Sergei. And so we ask today, if you would lift him up in your prayers, that the Lord would watch over, give the doctors wisdom how to treat him. He's the Lord saved his soul, changed his life, he has a family, now kids that are healthy and serving the Lord. And we don't know why, but we don't need to know why when we know the Lord's in control. Amen? Amen. So we ask you to pray for him. Sergei, his name is. And if you open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, we're going to start there this morning. This morning I want to share with you a very important principle and truth that if you'll allow it to affect your life, it'll change you completely. And one day you will hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, we'll start there this morning. If you would you stand, please? We'll read the verse together. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Before we read, I just wanted to thank you for your prayers for my wife. She is feeling better, praise the Lord, and here this morning. Her name's Lydia, and she is from the Ukraine. And we sure appreciate the church and what you've done for us, coming into the hotel room there and seeing bags of goodies. And it was a very great encouragement to us, and we want to thank you for that. And it's always great when you come to a place and they've been waiting for you, and they're there to say, "We're glad you're here." And it was a blessing to us, and especially for my wife. So I want to thank you for that and for your prayers for her. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, let's read it together. 3:4. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can come together. First of all, we want to thank you that we can call you our Father. And Lord, I thank you for these young people and these adults that are here this morning, their desire to not just to open their Bibles and to listen, but Lord, that they'd have a desire to heed what is said from your word, and Lord, allow that to affect their lives and play out in their lives. Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the blessing they've been to us. Pray you bless them. And Lord, may your will be done now in this time that we have together studying your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part, let's dissect this verse a little bit, and then we'll go on. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power." Do you believe that? If you do, say amen. 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 He is worthy to receive all glory, honor, and power. We don't deserve anything good, do we? We don't. And everything good that we do have, it's only because of him. We have so much to be thankful for. I encourage you young people to take, if you are allowed or you have the opportunity to take a mission trip, I pray that you would do that. Save up your money. Start now that you can take a mission trip when you're in high school or when you could, because it'll change your life. We have been, our country is blessed. It is still the greatest country in the world, I believe. And we have so much to be thankful for. You'll go to another country and you'll come back and say, "I never knew how good we really had it." We have so much to be thankful for. But we do have a lot to be thankful for in the spiritual realm also. Our Lord is worthy. We deserve hell. We deserve the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And that's every one of us. Amen? From the youngest to the old. That's what we deserve. But because of Christ, because of him coming, because of him laying aside and being born in a manger in Bethlehem, living a sinless life, then dying, taking sin upon himself, dying and then rising again, and giving every man, woman, and child the opportunity to be saved, he is worthy to receive all glory, honor, and power. Amen? Amen. It goes on to say, Father, it says, "For thou hast created all things." Do you believe that? Amen. I pray that you had been taught that, you believe that, because I wanted to explain it. Ukraine in America, they're swapping. They're changing places. Why is that? Because now in the Ukraine, the education, those that are in charge of education, they said, we have taught children these 70, 80 years that there is no God, evolution, Darwinism. And they said, we want them to know the other side. They're saying, we want our kids to know there's evolution, but there's also, and they're saying, we lean more now towards there is a creator, and the kids need to know about that. They're teaching it in schools. They're now having Bible classes. They teach Bible as a poetry, but they want the kids to know the Bible. They said that will not hurt them. If anything, it'll make them better. What a blessing. And then you come back to America, and we come back here kind of discouraged because we see they're getting God out of more and more things, not just schools anymore, but everything having to do with God. They want Him separated from them. Lord, help us. Amen. In America. But it goes on to say, Thou hast created all things. Young people, help me out this morning. What did God do on the first day of creation? Okay, the earth. Okay, mass. Okay, what else? Right, light. That's right. Interesting. You have time to study that out because that's very interesting. Been studying that out in mass and light and energy. Everything is based on that, and that's why it was on the first day. That's a very interesting study, and I'm still studying up, but that is very interesting. Never put things growing up as just, you know, Lord, night and day, and light. But there is a lot having to do with that. Second day of creation. Help me out, young people. There in the back. What did God separate? What did He make? Yeah, He made firmament. Separate the water from the water. Very good. Third day. Help me out. Third day. They're cheating? Oh, young people. How about third day? Somebody besides these two. Okay, young lady. That's right. The plants, trees, and flowers. Very good. Fourth day. Help me out. How about this side? Fourth day. I'll help you out. Help me out. Sun, moon, and stars. Correct. Correct. Fifth day. Help me out. What kind of animals? Birds of the air and fish of the sea. Very good. Sixth day. Let's go this side. Sixth day. Man and land animals. Very good. Okay. God has created all things. Why did He create light? According to the verse, it says, for thy pleasure they are and were created. So God created light for what reason? For His pleasure. For Him. For His pleasure. Why did God separate the firmament? For His pleasure. Why did God create the flowers, the trees? Help me out. For His pleasure. Sun, moon, and stars. For? Fish of the water. Birds of the air. Why did He create them? For His pleasure. Okay, land animals. For His pleasure. Man. Okay. Man was created for whose pleasure? God's pleasure. Young people, if you will allow that now to affect your life, you were created. Man was created for whose pleasure? God's pleasure. Not my pleasure, but God's pleasure. Mark was created for what reason? God's pleasure. Why was my wife created? For God's pleasure. Why was our brother going to Spain? Why was he created? To Israel. God's pleasure. Pastor. We don't know. No, we do know. For God's pleasure. We were all created for God's pleasure. That's why it's so important at this age we understand. I was created not to please Brother Mark, but to please God. That's why when I was in grade school, in a public school, and I remember them telling us, work hard, do good, and you can be all that you want to be. You. What do you want? People ask you, what is your plan for your life? What is your dreams? The main reason why we're here, we were created for God's pleasure. That means it's not my dreams anymore. It's not my life anymore. It's, God, what do you want from me? I'm here for your pleasure. Young people, when I was in growing up, I played baseball. You saw in the slides last. I loved baseball. Played T-ball when I was 5 and 6 years old. Then went to Little League and then Babe Ruth and then college. And I was planning to go farther. And I had an opportunity to go. There were scouts going to be coming. And God said, Mark, I want you to be a missionary. And I had a decision to make. Was I going to please Mark and keep doing what I wanted to do? Or was I going to say, God, okay, if that's what you want me to do, I'll be a missionary. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll be a missionary. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm glad he didn't say then Ukraine, because that was during communism still. And I probably would have been like Jonah, probably would have ran away probably. But he said, I want you to be a missionary. So I went to Bible college and said, the Lord wants me to be a missionary. People would ask, where do you want to go? You want to go. I began to look where I wanted to go. And I looked, and didn't have to look very far. I come from upper Wisconsin, up by Superior. You can't go any farther north than Superior. It is really cold up there. I lived up there, 20, 30 below, that's normal. Where did I start looking? South. Amen. I looked to Australia. It's warm. They speak English. And I had a buddy there that wanted me to come and help him. I said, Lord, there you go. Use me there. But you know what he said? He began, that was back in 92, and that's when the former Soviet Union started to break apart. And he said, I want you to go there. I said, Lord, but they could kill me. Christians die over there. And he said, do you still want to please me with your life? I said, yes, Lord, but use me that way. And he said, no, I want you to go there. And I fought with it for a while. I said, Lord, you can use me this way. What would please me, use me this way. But God said, I want you to use me this way. Are you going to please me? And I finally said, okay, Lord. It was at a youth conference at First Baptist. And that year it was Making a Difference. And one of the passages that was read was on dedicating your life to the Lord, and even if to die, that you would please God and make a difference. And that was it was the straw that broke the camel's back. I said, okay, Lord. I was willing to leave friends, family, things here in America and go somewhere, but I was holding on to my life. And I finally said, Lord, even if it's I'm going to die, I'll serve you. I'll do what you want me to do. And I went to the Ukraine. 1993. Went to the Ukraine. I said, Lord, I could die there, but if that's what you want, okay, and I'll go. And I went. Went there, got there September 1st of 1993. Back then, the former Soviet Union was just was breaking apart. Ukraine had now become a country. They didn't know about all these foreigners coming, so they graded their protection, and the soldiers, they had a routine. What they did is when the plane landed, when we bounced down the runway and stopped, they had this cattle wagon that came in. It was like a cattle truck, and then it looked like a cattle wagon. My dad was a farmer. I said, what in the world? And then it stopped right by the plane, and here it was filled with soldiers with AK-47s. And they surrounded the plane. I said, Lord, I just got here. Lord, I was willing to give you my life, but Lord, I just got here. And they said, everybody out. And we're like, okay. And it was dead quiet, all the foreigners that I was with. And they said, go into that building. It looked like a little hangar, like the old hangars for airplanes, metal thing. And they said, go in there. And I said, well, here we go, into the gas chamber. We all got in there. It's an empty place. And all of a sudden, these big doors opened up. And here comes a hay wagon and all of our luggage on top. And they said, get your luggage and go through those doors. So we crawled through. Actually, I crawled through all the luggage, got my backpack and stuff, and went through them doors. And I said, okay, now it's the gas chamber. No, there's a guy there. And he stamped my passport. And he said, go through those doors. I said, okay, now they made it official. Now I'm going to the gas chamber. Went through those doors, and it opened up in the airport, and I'm still alive today. But God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? He says, do you want to please me? And for me, he said, I want to use you in the Ukraine. Are you willing to do that for me? And I am so thankful I said yes. I'll please you with my life. If that's what pleases you, I'll do that. And you know what? That's what's kept me there too. Life is hard in the Ukraine. Learning a new language. The first 6 months was the hardest time in my life. I knew I was there to preach the gospel. I wanted them to know about Christ, but I couldn't speak the language. All I could say, I learned the phrase, Vazmi eta. That means, take this. It was a track. Vazmi eta, vazmi. You know what? You can get pretty good at that. Vazmi eta, vazmi eta, vazmi eta. And then it was, take this, it's about God. And I got really good at that. And then take this as about God. He loves you. And then just little by little, and then with language school, I was able to share the gospel. But that was difficult. But that's what God wanted from me. And I wanted to please Him. So that's why I'm there. And I've been there. There's been a lot of other things that have happened. But God has been faithful. The desire for my heart and my desire for you this morning is that you would make the decision, like we heard last night. Make the decision, according to this verse, God created all things, and they're for His pleasure. That means I was created for God's pleasure. My decision is, I want to please God with my life. It's easy to say. That means, young people, at your age right now, you say, how can I please God? You can be obedient. Be honest. Obey your parents. Be faithful in church. There's a lot of ways you can please God at your age. Don't think, well, when I get older, I'm going to please God with my life. No, you start right now. Make the decision today, I'm going to please God with my life. I'm going to live my life that God would be pleased. You know what? That controls the way I speak. The way I answer, amen. That when somebody corrects me, I say, thank you, or forgive me. It affects every area of my life. If I'm going to please God, that means everything that I do, I'm going to please Him. What I say, what I look at, young people, television, internet, is that pleasing to God? If not, I'm not going to look at it. Well, everybody's doing it. Well, you make the decision today. I'm not going to look at it because I'm going to please God with my life. I was in a youth group. There was a time I was the only one that was standing for Christ. It broke my heart. My friends were going into the world of music. And I had to say, friends, I can't go with you anymore. They said, why? Because you're doing things that are not pleasing to God, and I'm not going to live that way. Amen. It's not easy. But remember, why are we here? We're here to please Him. Please Him with your life. We're here to please Him. Okay? Then let's find out what pleases Him. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. If we're here to please Him, let's find out what pleases God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. I really enjoy this chapter here and how these great men of God. And you know what? Sometimes we think that they're in a different category of the human race. We think, oh, Enoch, oh, Abraham, Moses. You know, they were human just like you and I, young people. They had flesh just like you and I. They had a will just like you and I. But they made a decision. We're going to serve God with our lives. Everybody else, you ever think of Noah? How easy it was for him to live for God? Was it easy for him? No. Was it easy for the other ones to live for God? No. But what? Why did they? Because they made a decision. We love God and we're going to serve God. And they did that. But in verse 5, look at the end of verse 5. It says, talking about Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. Oh, I pray that for you and for myself. Lord, I want to live my life that I would have the testimony that Brother Mark Preem pleased God with his life. He pleased God. Young people, make that your decision today. I'm going to please God with my life. Have that testimony. They knew that about him. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Did you hear that? What is needed to please God? With it, you can please Him. Without it, you can't. What is it? Faith. What is faith? Young people, you have paper? Write down an acrostic. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Faith. That's what faith is. When you accept Christ as your Savior, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's for by grace are you saved through faith. Forsaking all, and I trust Him. Who is Him? Jesus. If we want to accept Christ as our Savior, and that's the only way to be saved, it's not a church, not a baptism, not good works, it's through Christ. When I forsake all and I trust Him, the Bible says I'm saved. That's pleasing to God. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, The will of the Father in John chapter 6, verse 40, the will of the Father is that they would see the Son, believe in Him, and have everlasting life. God is pleased when we put our faith and trust, first of all, in Jesus Christ. If you don't, you can try to please Him. You can live a good life. There's a lot of moral people in the Ukraine. Moral people. I mean, they live a good life. They do good to people. They help people. They're good people. They're moral people. But they're lost. And they're unpleasing to God. Why? Because they're rejecting Jesus Christ, His Son, the way for them to be saved. They're not His children. Not everybody is God's children. Only those that have accepted Jesus Christ, they have the power to become the sons of God. First of all, how am I going to please God? First of all, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. Just because your parents are Christians don't mean that you're Christians. Just because you've been to church your whole life. I was in church when I was 3 years old. It wasn't until I was 8 that I realized how many times I'd heard about Jesus Christ. It was when I was 8 years old that I realized I'm a sinner. I deserve to die and go to hell. Christ died for me. And I put my faith and trust in Him and He saved me. Young people, you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. My pastor, Mark Wakenshoes, he has this testimony. His father was a pastor. People said when he was 5 years old that he accepted Christ. He said, I don't remember it. He lived his life taking other people's words for it. When he had a question, I'm not sure if I'm safe enough. They'd say, well, when you were 5, you accepted Christ. And he goes, well, I guess so. It wasn't until he was 21 years old as a youth pastor that he said, I'm not going to take other people's words. Eternity is too important to take another person's word for it when I don't remember it. He said, I need to get this right, that I know that I'm saved. I want to know what I did. And he went forward as a youth pastor at 21 years old and said, I am trusting Christ. That's my blood. From this day out, I'm accepting Christ. And I know now I've accepted Him as my personal Savior. Young people, there's a lot of young people growing up in Christian homes, going to church their whole lives, and dying and going to hell because they were in church their whole life. They thought, well, I must be saved because I go to church every Sunday. It won't save you. You personally, every one of you need to make that decision. I am accepting Christ and forsaking all, and I'm going to trust Him to save my soul. You need to do that. Don't take another person's word for it. Don't take dad, mom, No. Every person needs to put their faith and trust in Christ. Goes on to say, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by... The just are those that have been justified, those that have accepted Christ as their Savior. The Bible says they shall live by faith. That is a constant forsaking all and trusting Christ. That's every area of our lives. Faith, promise, giving. Missions. Offerings. Ministries, every area of my life, I'm forsaking all and I'm trusting Christ. What He wants, that's how I live. There's no amount, it's whatever He wants. It's not what I want to do, or that we talked about last night, being comfortable. It's not what I'm comfortable with, it's God, what do You want from me? I'm going to live by, that's what pleases God, living by faith. Go with me in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. What are some other things that please God? I encourage you, if you have a computer or you have a commentary or a concordance, study out pleased. Find out what, I don't have time to go through it all, what pleases God, but make a word study and go through what pleases God or what is well-pleasing to God, and you'll be amazed at things. And when you see those things, say, okay, God, You created me. I'm created for Your pleasure. If these things please You, then I'm going to live that way. It says here in verse 16, it says, To do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What's pleasing to God? Two things here in this verse. Help me out. Do good. When it's comfortable to do good, or when it's uncomfortable to do good. Do good. Well, nobody else. Do good. Well, it's not popular. Do good. Communicate. What does it mean to communicate? Young ladies, that means I get to talk a lot. And that's pleasing to God, right? No. Communicate is when you help somebody. You're giving. You're willing to give. God is using you to help others. God is pleased by doing that, when you do that. Pleasing to God. Helping others. Make it a point that I'm not going to live selfishly. God, whatever You have given me, Lord, it's Yours. And if You want to take it and want me to give it, I'm I'm going to communicate and I'm going to do good. Use me. And you'd be amazed what God can do with little things. With little things. You know what? It may be little to you, those Snicker bars last night. But you know what? That was a blessing. That was a blessing to me. God used that. Just a Snicker bar. Means you care. Just a Snicker bar. What's a Snicker bar? What are crackers? Peanut butter crackers. It's a blessing to a man of God. You mean God can use a cracker? Yes, He can use a cracker. Be willing to communicate, to help, meet a need. God is pleased with that. Go with me to Isaiah 53 quickly. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, look with me in verse 10. Isaiah 53:10, the Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." Who is this talking about? Who is him? Jesus. Isaiah 53, going through, it's talking about the sufferings of Christ. It says here in verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It pleased God to bruise Jesus Christ. Did you get that? It was pleasing to God to bruise him. You've read how Christ had suffered, how they pulled his beard, spit upon him, beat him, stuck that spear in his side. It pleased God to bruise him. Why did it please God to bruise him? Was that pleasing? Was God up there pleased when they were spitting on him and hitting him? I think it hurt him. Well, what does it mean? It pleased God. Because what that brought about was salvation for you and I. That's why he said it pleased the Lord to bruise him, because of the result, what it would bring. You and I could get saved. So that's why it was pleasing to the Lord. So what does that tell us? That means there's some things in life, young people, that may be hurtful. That's going to happen in your life. That God's going to use to be able to use you later. You say, well, why would God allow that into my life? That death, that problem, that abuse, that, why would God be allow that into my life? Is that good? Is it good that they abuse? No, it's not. But God can use that for good. Romans 8:28. Remember that verse? Be able to familiar? Romans 8:28. How many of you know that? Who can say it out loud, real quickly? Go ahead, brother. I love God and I called according to His purpose. He says all that will work together. If you love God and call according to His purpose, all things will work together for good. According to whose purpose? His purpose. God's purpose. There's going to be things God's going to allow in your life because it's according to His purpose to bring about good. It may be at this point hurtful, hard, pain, suffering, but it's going to be about good. Joseph, I'll end with this. Joseph, was it good that he was thrown in the pit by his brothers? No, it wasn't. But where was God? With him in the pit. Was it good that they falsely accused him of having an immoral relationship with Potiphar's wife? Was that good that they falsely accused him? No, it wasn't good. But where was God? With Joseph. Was it good that he was in prison? No. It wasn't. But where was God? With Joseph. God wasn't somewhere, didn't forget about him, didn't love him. He was with them all the time. Well, why didn't God stop it? Because God was doing something that Joseph didn't know, but God knew what was going to happen. What happened? At the end, when his father passed away and his brother said, now he's going to get us. He began to weep and he said, you meant it for evil. All of that, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for what? Good. All of that God used to bring about good. What was the good? A nation was saved. And God used Joseph. Why did He use Joseph? Because Joseph wanted to live for God. Pleased God. When he was in the pit, when he was falsely accused, and when he was in prison, he pleased God there, and there. And what happened? God used him in a mighty way. We didn't make a decision this morning. God created all things. He created me. I'm here to please Him. Am I living my life to please God? What does God want for me? Have you ever asked yourself that question, young person? What does God want for me? God hasn't called me to the mission field. At your age, God had not called me to the mission field, but He did call me to please Him. So in Sunday school, in school, at home, I made a decision. I'm going to please God with my life. My other friends didn't, but that was their decision. I made a decision for my life. I'm going to please God. And like we heard last night, that's also why I believe God uses men. They may be nothing. Like myself, a farm boy, 9 of 10 children, lived in a village of 250 people. 50 of those were preems. Never been in the big city. Big city was 30,000 people to me. That was the big city. And God sent me to a city of 1.5 million people. Why? Because Mark somebody? No. I just want to be used. And He said, I'm going to use you there. You want to please me? I want to use you there. Please me there. And that's what I've been doing for the last 17 years. And I'll continue. He may continue in Odessa. It may be another city. It may be somewhere else. But I've decided, and I pray you would decide this today, I'm going to please God with my life. Not looking at others. I'm going to please God with my life. And may the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity to speak with these young people. Lord, there is great potential in this room. Lives that have the opportunity to live in Christian homes, be in a good church, be under great preaching, hear Your word being cleaned and purified. And Lord, I pray that they would have a heart that would be pleasing to You. They would come and today and say, Lord, I'm going to please You with my life. Whatever You want, that's what I'm going to do. And Lord, I pray You'd use them in a mighty way. And we'll give You the praise and give You the glory. In Jesus' name I pray.